Hello and welcome to another episode of Live Love by Design TV. I'm Karen Chaston and today you are in for a real treat. I'm going to bring in my beautiful guest, Moira Sweeney. Hello Moira, how are you?
Karen, I'm great. How are you today?
I'm so excited. Now, some of our viewers may remember that I had a conversation with Moira. It was actually my first show of Live Love by Design TV, and it was probably about a few months ago anyway. I think I'm about 17, 18 shows in, so that's how long ago it is. So today we have reconnected to actually talk about the book Radical Forgiveness. Now, I'm not sure if you remember, but Moira was all about forgiveness. And a month or so after I chatted with Moira, this book came into my life. And as soon as I read it, I reached out to Moira and I asked her to read it. And she just has. So that's what we're going to discuss today. And it's a totally new concept, isn't it, to forgiveness, Moira?
You know, you would say that, and yet I feel like I've lived so much of my adult life, even my early life in that, but I would say for me, this has taken it to like another level. And I'm still looking forward to the additional outcomes and the benefits of this whole concept.
It is. So for our viewers, it's all about understanding that no one does anything to you. They do it for you on a soul level. And I know that is really hard for a lot of people to understand, especially if you have been abused in any way, especially sexually, emotionally. It's not an easy concept to actually take on, to say, well, why would my soul learn from this experience? But it really is magical when you go through the process, isn't it, Moira?
Yes, and I can say that from multiple experiences. It's amazing. And if I could even add the theme of this book to the theme of your show where you say Live Love by Design, do you know ultimately when we learn to love, that's when we're finally able to live fully. And so the topic today and the theme of your show, all about forgiveness, because we withhold life from us when we withhold forgiveness.
I totally agree. But it's also the energy within our bodies that we keep, you know, those stuck feelings. Let's face it, you know, emotions are energy in motion. And when they get stuck inside your body, it's the holding of them, it's the weighing down of them that really does not only aid you, it makes you more negative than positive, which means you're not going to have as much joy and love as you said in your life.
I totally agree. And an interesting thing about this book, if I could just backtrack, I will tell you I probably learned it around 9 years old that the idea of holding an offense was not good for me. Even if I was the one holding the offense, it was not good for me. So I recognize that sense of energy. And I've always throughout the course of my life, every time I was afraid of the future, fearful that something bad was going to happen or felt anxious in any way, I would always say to myself, is there anybody, and I would always go to God, is there anybody, God, that I have somewhere in the recesses of my mind, in my subconscious, that I'm holding something against? And I'd say, show me anybody, because I would make this blanket decision. It was like the one life decision. Whoever it is, whatever the circumstances, it's forgiven. I'm not holding anything against anybody because I understood that withholding love or holding an offense against another was also working against my own peace. And when you don't have peace, you really can't have life. But now I totally forgot what the next question was that you asked me. I want to answer.
That is amazing because I want to run with that for a little while.
Good.
Do you know at 9 that it was weighing you down and you did not want to withhold that? Was it from people around you who were doing it and you thought, I don't want to be like that? Or how was it? Because that's really young to understand.
You could see my face. And I'm going to tell you, Karen, I might as well say this is probably going to be one of the most transparent interviews I've ever given. And as a disclosure at the beginning, I want anybody who may know me personally or know my family to understand something. As I'm sharing information, this is not to degrade anyone because I never two things. I never want to come off as a victim, and I never want to be a blamer of anybody else, because somehow, some way, I always knew that there was a spiritual connection in my life, and nothing on this level with people, with images, with impressions was ever in my mind going to get in the way of where I wanted to go, which is, you know, that unity with God, which to me is perfect peace. Okay. So I needed to say that as upfront disclosure. Now, I will tell you, going back to age 9, it's a story, and I did share this once before. I often, when I was small, felt like I could never do the things I wanted to do. That's very common among kids. But one of the things I wanted to do is to be able to stay up later. When my 9th birthday came around, I said to my mother, you know, Mom, I don't need any presents for my birthday this year. The only present I want, which I knew cost no money, I want to be able to stay up until 9 o'clock at night. And she said to me, absolutely not. And the relationship we had was, she was very authoritarian and very confident. And I knew there was no debate. And I got really, because to me, I thought I had one over on her, you know. Did you ever have that as a kid? And she still said no, because she couldn't say, oh, too expensive, don't want to buy it, don't like the style. All it was to say yes to 9 o'clock. So I was 8 going on 9. And I got, Karen, I can't tell you, I got so offended, so angry, and more than that, because she wasn't willing to discuss it. I had to always be polite. I knew that much growing up. I really couldn't be a sassy person. So you know what I did? I gave my mother the silent treatment. And so I was polite around the table. She'd ask, do you want this? Do you want that? No, thank you. But I would have no conversation. By the end of a day and a half, I can't tell you what I felt like. The awareness of feeling disgusting, despicable, hating myself, feeling like a ball of dirt. I don't even know how to describe it. How would an 8-year-old going on 9 describe it? I felt terrible about myself, and I thought, I'm never going to win at this game, and nor is it worth it for me to try, because what I'm going to put myself through is far too uncomfortable, and I can't stand it. So you know what I thought? I can't do anything about it, but I don't want to feel miserable. I'm just going to let it go. And that was my first learning experience on what happens when we stop holding an offense. The offense was not working against my mother. It was working against me. And so that was my earliest recollection. And I could tell you, I could build you skyscrapers from there.
But that is perfect, Maura, because that's exactly what this book really does talk about and reiterate, in the fact that we're holding all of these feelings within. We're angry with someone, we're not loving them, and they're not even aware of it. You are weighing yourself down by not giving this forgiveness over to them. They're not even aware that you are still carrying all of this angst about the event, about so much of it, that it is really great for you to get that at such a young age, because your mother probably didn't even really care.
I'm glad you said that, because that was one of the things I noticed. I thought, she doesn't even notice the fact that I'm not talking or that I'm angry. And it was so frustrating. And that was what I thought. I realized I was up against a wall. So what was I fighting? And the easiest thing for me to do, this is even another way for people who are listening today to consider this. You know, some people, they don't like to forgive. They don't like to forget. You know what I did? I just dropped it. It was too hard to carry.
Yes.
And that was an easy decision for me to make. And I'm telling you, after that, I personally felt so much better.
Yes.
Didn't get to go up till 9 o'clock, but I felt so much better.
What time was your normal bedtime anyway?
Oh my goodness. You know, I could tell you, my mother shared with me that at 4:30 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon, she'd have me in my pajamas. If I could ever go back in time and look up in the old days, early 60s, when the Mickey Mouse series finished on TV, maybe 6:30, I was in bed.
Oh, wow. Glad you were.
Yeah, I know. That was pretty early. So you can see why trying to get up till 9 o'clock was a big deal.
Maybe you should have gone. You might have got it. Okay, so let's talk about the book. So what is it that you found when you were reading in this? What awareness did it bring to you?
Well, I'll give you my first impression. Maybe some of your listeners are familiar with A Course in Miracles. That's a book I read maybe 10 years ago, and that had been floating around, But I happened to open that book, and for a lot of people, it's very cryptic and it's a little too metaphysical. But when I read it, that whole story is all about forgiveness. The forgiveness we give to others, we give to ourselves, and it reunites us to our awareness as one with God.
Yes.
When I first got this book and read the opening story, which the author refers to several times, I have to tell you, I thought, I have to read this whole book. I just got it. I already know this.
Yes.
But the interesting thing was, as right after I got off the opening story, which I understood was the author's way of introducing the concept and the connection.
Wasn't it a great way to hook you in straight away?
Yes. You know what? It was. And then when he went into other stories and the connections between our forgiveness on one level when other people are unaware of it and how on another completely different level it changes relationships without our doing anything, that really got my interest. And then there was more. He talked about the situations where he had dealt with people that were so sick, especially with cancer patients or others that had chronic issues, and that when they went through this process of just forgiving something that happened in their past that was living rent-free in their head and also by extension their body, that so got my attention and my interest. Because Karen, I may not at this point in my life yet be able to prove everything I intuitively know to be true about heaven, about earth, about our reality versus this illusionary world down here. Mm-hmm. But I plan on getting there where I could say, even in spite of the fact that, like, I could tell you in my own life, anybody you could say, I had my thyroid removed. I'm coughing again. I can remember being 25 years old, and I had a sales job, and I would come into the morning and I think, my gosh, I have to get on the phone, but I have a frog in my throat. When I was in my latter 20s, I was managing, a branch office, which meant I had to do a lot of public speaking. And I'm thinking, why do I always have problems with my voice? My voice, the connection with my voice, issues with walking pneumonia, you name it. It's all connected with what I was willing to say and not willing to say. And as many times as I've gone to say, all right, I'm ready. What is the solution? What else can I do? Somehow in this book, I realize it's a long answer to what you're saying. Karen, I feel like I got another key. As much as I opened the book and thought I already know it, the key that I got, and you might have to have me on again.
Yes.
And because I'm interested in seeing the outcome. Is that as much as I could forgive anybody anything, including one man who, when I was like 3-4 years old, sexually molested me. I was so happy to figure out that's why I had those issues. That's why I was fearful. And that was the face I had forgotten. I immediately thought, forgive the guy. He didn't know what he was doing. I could let it go as easily as possible. The connection, Karen, that I believe is in this book that brings everything to another level, at least for me, is that I could forgive, but I think what I never allowed myself to do was to go to those places and literally express and give place, or let's say acknowledge my emotions. And that's what I used this book for when I did my most recent. And I have a feeling that for whatever reason, I couldn't give place to certain emotions as a child. And that ability to stuff and stuff down or pack away someplace is the very thing that continues to show up again here. So,
I totally,
I don't want to keep talking because I could go on.
Now that's beautiful. Exactly what you've shared. Thank you, Moira, for, sharing, you know, so many personal things and experiences. More importantly, as anything that happens to us as a child, especially if we know as an adult, it was wrong. For that adult to perpetrate that on you. As a child, we're told not to talk about it. We're told it's between us. Don't tell anyone because they know it's wrong. So the fact that you were told to not express about it and you shoved it down and shoved it down and shoved it down, that's what I love about this book more than anything else, is the fact that it has worksheets. And the worksheets allow you to go through a process of you, let me just go through the six out. So telling the story, for you to tell the story as an adult and also as a child, and then feeling the feelings, because you would have shoved those feelings down and not been able to express them, they would have been totally running around inside of you and stopping you from, as you said, voicing your opinion when you should. Then it's about collapsing the story, because from a child's perspective or from whatever perspective, our perspective is never, doesn't make it real, because as you know, what our beliefs come into it, what our awareness, our perspective may not be the reality of exactly what's happened. And by writing out the story really does bring that up. And then you start to go towards a reframe and you reframe that story and then you integrate the shift into your body. Now, I'm not talking about or degrading any abuse that has happened to anyone, but it's about understanding and being able to live with that abuse, forgiving the abuser. Well, I don't say you have to like the abuser or hang out with the abuser or make them one of your friends or anything like that, but it's about understanding that that event occurred into your life so that you could become the person that you decided to become before you came down to earth. And without that event in your life, you may not be able to do your main purpose for being here. So I hope our viewers understand that I'm not degrading any situation, but it's about understanding and forgiving so that you can move on. And I think a great little story that it's just popped into my head, and I don't want to keep talking anyway, and I think it was the Columbine shootings. It was one of the school shootings. And I remembered hearing an interview with, I can't think of his first name, but the CEO of Hay House, Mr. Reed. He was talking to Esther Hicks, and he asked her, you know, and Abraham, about this mother whose child was shot in that shooting. And the child was aware before he even went to school that day that he was not coming home.
Really?
Yes. And it's an amazing interview, and I've just got shivers telling you about it. So the mother, she in hindsight, she was very aware of the things he said and the things that he'd done. Like they had a whiteboard in their house. He drew a picture of the family. He wasn't in that picture. Little things like that before he went to school. And anyway, after the shooting, she chose to do a pathway of not trying to control the guns, but more about let's looking at our children to see signs in them, to see that they've changed. The child who did the shooting, there were very obvious signs in hindsight that he had changed and he was depressed and that he may go down that road. So she was setting up programs to do that. Now, it would have been very easy for her to never forgive that person, but she became to realize that her child had to be shot and killed for her to go down that path to save other children. So that's what I love about radical forgiveness, in the fact that you can take any horrible situation in your life and go beyond and see what is this on a soul development level that I can heal so that I can do what I'm meant to do.
Does that Karen, happen? Yes, that story, I never heard about that, the child and the mother.
I'll send you the recording. It's such a great recording.
All right, you know what? This is very interesting. This book did a really good job of reaching out to every sort of mindset. So there are some that believe in God, some that may not believe in God, but believe in science. Yes. He actually at one point referred to this as a technology and energy. Mm-hmm. What you just described about this Columbine parent and the whole situation is something it took me over the course of decades to sort of come to the awareness of in my own life. We can live in negative energy, which to me would be like death. Negative energy is I'm a victim. The world is against me. Anything bad can happen at any time. I better protect myself and separate from everybody and never make a move, because any potential move could mean death or destruction or whatever. But the other side of it, and this goes back to, are we going to live on the side of humanity or are we going to see the divine side, which has great order and magnificence and really peace? And that's the place where we recognize at some level that we all came from the same source, that we're all eternal beings. And a lot of religious people may have problems with that. But I know somehow we all came from the same source, and that's the real place. So, you know what I always remembered, and this is similar to what you're explaining. Whenever I would feel low, I would go up to my bedroom. This could be as a child, or it could be as literally as an adult. It could have been last week. Whenever I feel challenged with things going on in this world, or something goes wrong that I don't like, or it upsets me, I will go to my own private space and place, and I will literally change the energy around. And how do I do it? I will think in a different way. And what I'm looking for is that mental and emotional and spiritual space. You could literally feel it, where everything is ordered, everything is full of peace, and everything has this sense of benevolence, not just for me, that's going to work out well for me, but that in the divine order of things, everyone will be lifted up and united in the process. So that was another really good thing about this book, because maybe these are things that I kind of learned or discerned by stumbling through life, but he did a very excellent job of packing it down to pragmatic ways that anybody from really any background, if they really allowed themselves to, they could get the concepts, and by getting those concepts and agreeing to them, they can experience new things.
I totally agree. And I love the way he even said, even if you do not believe in this process, just do it. It will still work. You do not have to believe in a higher being. You do not have to believe that we're all connected, we're all one, and we all came here together. And that's what I love about it, because if the world took on these concepts, there would be no wars. People would allow people to be who they are, to have their beliefs. Like, how many, you know, wars have been fought over religion? It's absolutely ridiculous. Who cares what anyone else thinks or who they pray to? Does it really matter?
No. Because when we make that matter, that's where the wars begin. That's where the judgments start. That's when the ability to apply some belief about another person that may or may not even be true comes into being. Exactly. Rather than allowing people to be who they are and seeing them. I want to say this. I read this in the latter part of the book. It's seeing Christ in everyone. Now, you don't have to think about religious Christ, but that whole idea of that divinity, that oneness, that familiar place that you recognize in yourself as well.